This is Unfiltered, episode 171 for January 6th, 2016.
In the Impact segment tonight, a very bizarre boast from the State Department. The folks there blog that bringing peace to Syria is one of its top accomplishments of 2015. Peace in Syria.
Yes, indeed, folks. The hangover is back. Oh, no, wait. The hangover's over. We're back. Welcome to Unfilter, Jupiter Broadcasting's weekly show about the news that you shouldn't be watching. Hey, happy new year, everybody. My name is Chase, running the board this week. He's a new board op. He's cut some clips. Producer Matt's been helping out. Chris Fischer.
Yeah, thanks. It's fun to be here. I'm really excited about your show, podcasting.
On the internet.
Hello, Chase.
Hey, Chris.
Hello, buddy. Yeah, hey, happy
buddy.
New Year's to you.
Happy, yeah, happy New Year's. New Year. What'd you do? What'd you spend your New Year? What'd you do?
I was actually trying to remember before the show.
You're just coming out of the hangover.
I can't really remember what I did. It all ran together so tightly with the holidays. It's because today's one of those days where I made a life decision that is, it whitewashed my brain.
Whoa.
And like now all of the last month has just all been blurred together.
Last month, it's only been 6 days.
What? this 2016 has been crazy year, Chase.
It's been a crazy year so far. Hey, guess what? We are now officially in an election year.
I know. That's going to be something.
And you know, it's kind of weird because I think of our show in election cycles.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. So this is going to be our first full 4-year election cycle this year.
Yeah, I know.
Doesn't that blow your mind?
That is weird. That's going to be some serious fun live shows. So
yeah.
I'm going to do a little unfiltered story to start the year off. I was telling Chase that we have zero chance of messing this episode up because it's the only episode of 2016.
It's going to be the best one.
The best episode of 2016.
That's
so we
right.
we can just sort of have a horrible episode, and we've met that bar.
Actually, there's no way that this episode could get any better.
Yeah. So I have been living for the last few months. I went on the road trip, decided that I actually really kind of liked staying in the Rover. And I decided, well, I'll make this my domicile for a while because, you know, I'm at work all the time. And so
yeah.
I've really been I've enjoyed it. But in the winter, it's...
Yeah, the insulation's not very good.
It's a little cold. It's a little cold.
Yes.
So what I decided to do was upgrade the Rover. I've been actually working on this for a while. So I got today. I'm in the process of getting. It's not all finished yet.
So what are you doing to the Rover now?
Well, I'm trading the Rover in, and I'm gonna get a bigger unit. I'm gonna get an actual. Yeah.
That means you got to get a Class A, man.
I'm getting a Class A motorhome.
Wait,
I am.
Yeah, but you no. You don't understand, Chris.
Hmm.
Now I don't know if anybody filled you in on the process.
Okay.
Here.
All right, you tell me.
Let me fill you in real quick.
Mm-hmm.
You get one of these bad mamma jammas, which, by the way, you know, Rockstar have, and you know, they're beautiful machines.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have full, and look at that, it's beautiful. Chris, either you're gonna have to hire a driver,
right,
or you're gonna have to learn how to drive get certified to drive one of these beasts.
Yeah.
I don't know if you realize that.
Yeah, well, you know, in terms of total length, it's actually
talk about length, please.
It's just actually a few feet shorter than the truck and trailer.
But you have to have a Class A license.
Yeah.
That means a commercial's driver's license.
Yep.
A commercial driver's license.
Yeah.
So are you going to go to school?
They have classes.
I was going to say,
Yeah. And they have programs. It's not a big deal. It's really not that big of a deal.
Oh, I know. I'm just giving you hassle.
You know.
It's like a rock star, dude. But here's the thing, right? Anybody who's been to JB1. Knows that you can't exactly park that thing.
No.
Are you going to tow the truck behind? Are you trading the truck in too?
No. I can tow the truck.
Oh, okay.
I'll probably tow my lady's car.
Will the truck tow this?
No.
No, I'm just kidding.
I'll probably use the lady's car is nice. It's small. It's light. It's really a great tow car. So hopefully if all works out, I'll be able to take this down to scale, and this is what I'll be using for the rest of the road trip.
I like how wide it gets, by the way, too.
Yeah.
By the way, how many can it sleep?
It can sleep myself, the lady, and our three kids, or a couple adults.
So I was going to say for Linux Fest Northwest.
Yeah, we could.
I'm just wondering.
Yeah, totally. That's a great idea. You know, and also it works really well for me just because of my personal situation, because the house.
It's like a rolling apartment. It really is.
It is.
It's a rolling apartment.
It's got four slides. So it
not
really,
water slides.
No, so it really expands out. And you know, for me, it means now I'm going to have things like I'll have a couch.
That's a tour bus. Producer Matt is right. That is a tour bus.
I'll have a couch.
Now wait.
I'll have a washer and dryer.
All right, you got to do one.
So this is my house, right? This is my house.
I know,
and it works well for me because that Ange's house is still in my name. So as far as the banks are concerned, I own two houses already because I own this studio. And I own my house.
Look, you're rolling, man.
Yeah, so the bank's like, yeah, we're not going to give you another house. This, however, I can finance. So
I got to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they make these awesome custom wrap graphics.
Right, yeah, I know.
Are you going to get this thing wrapped?
If I decide to, I don't know.
I think it would be,
so
it would be
here's
beautiful.
The problem. There's a line I have to walk because I do actually live in it. Like, I have to walk this line if I'm going to make it a business thing. Yeah.
Well, but even if you're living in it, you can give free promotion
to
yourself.
I know,
yeah. Right. Come on.
That's true.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited. Yeah. And so, yeah.
Wow.
I'm hoping, who knows how it'll actually work. Maybe this year finances might be too tight, but I'm hoping to go on a trip about once a quarter.
Wow.
So we'll see. Wow. We will see.
That's awesome,
dude. I'm pretty excited. So I was down in... Fife is the first place. I did go to Fife the first time to do the stuff.
Right.
And then today I went down to a place that's east of Fife. I mean, it's down south of Sumner. It is way. I mean, driving for 2 hours both ways to do this stuff. So I was using Waze today.
Yeah, Waze is great.
Bouncing around. So I'll be watching for your Waze report, Mr. Chase.
And by the way, we talked about that in the supporter show. So check that out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But for me, for New Year's, not too much going on. I stayed at home. Now, I am an antenna guy. I cut the cord a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason on New Year's Eve, I couldn't watch the Space Needle on television. I wasn't getting reception. So King 5, the local NBC affiliate, we've showed their clips on the show many times. They are the ones that do the New Year's Eve fireworks at the Needle.
Mm-hmm.
For this year, they streamed the whole thing online. And I swear to God, it was looking like I was watching broadcast, and it was great.
Nice.
Beautiful.
Good resolution.
Awesome. Yeah, 720p. It was just amazing.
That is so nice. As a cord cutter, that's nice.
So yeah, had some drinks and hung out at home with the lady and watched the Space Needle go up. It was awesome.
I'm pretty excited about the new rig. Where, you know, if all goes well, I'll be getting it. So these things, because they're so big and massive.
Yeah.
There's like
gas mileage not too good.
No, there's two weeks of walkthrough they do, like checking to make sure all the things work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a rolling apartment with an engine and wheels.
And hydraulics.
Yeah,
and,
it's incredible.
But I am super excited to once again have a washer and dryer. Like,
it's still weird to think. This thing has that.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I got to tell you, like the small things in life, counters will be having a counter again.
Well, you have a little counter. A
little bit. Yeah.
But you're trading in. So all the upgrades that you made to the rover.
Right. The only thing that was permanently installed out of all the stuff we put in the rover was some power distribution DC plugs that Noah installed. All the other upgrades.
It's going to come right over.
Totally moves
so you'll
right
still
over.
Have this. You'll still have the Wi-Fi, the signal.
Oh, yeah.
All that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
All that stuff will come
in
over.
In fact, I might even eventually get a fancier version of that. But I got to have the signal booster because I'm parking up in La Conner, is like horrible.
Now, these rolling rigs, these rolling apartments, they have satellite dishes
oh, yeah.
put on it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
oh yeah.
Free to air.
Oh, yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah. And it also has an HD antenna built in, too, that goes up. Whoops, so you can get HD broadcast.
I know.
And then it comes into an HDMI multiplexer. So
the technology in these things is amazing.
Yeah, it is.
Top Gear did a special on one of these a long time ago. They were comparing RVs from the UK to us.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It was great.
Yeah. All right. So while we're talking about technology, I want to play this story about Iranian hackers that have hacked into a New York dam. And let's see if we can grok any actual substance from this report.
Just that, wait, sorry. That whole line doesn't even pass muster.
I know,
all right,
I know.
All right.
Iranian hackers infiltrated computer software
that
controls the floodgates of this Rye, New York dam, just 20 miles outside of New York City. A former U.S. official familiar with the investigation revealed the classified details from 2013, first reported by the Wall Street Journal. Paul Rosenberg is mayor of the village of Rybrook.
But what it says to me is, you know, they're looking at everything. Was this a dress rehearsal for something larger? It also makes me concerned about the security of our infrastructure that is significantly more critical than the Bowman Avenue Dam.
Investigators believe the intruders were just probing to see what they could get into, but no damage was done. Hacking of dam controls have long been a Homeland Security concern. In 2013...
I'm not hearing the link to Iran. It just says it in the lower third. I mean, anybody could have just been poking around.
Have they proof? They have an IP? What?
Even an IP wouldn't be good enough for me, though.
Yeah.
Hackers penetrated a sensitive database of U.S. dams maintained by the Army Corps of Engineers. Asked about the breach involving the dam in Rye, New York, the Department of Homeland Security told CNN by email it has no comment on the alleged incident.
You know that cyber typing sound that it makes?
Yeah, and that brrr.
Yeah, do you know, I did some Googling and I found, I'm going to play it again so people know what I'm talking about real quick.
Told CNN by
right here.
Email it has no
comment. That sound?
Yeah.
I think, and I could be wrong, but I think the origin is Hunt for Red October, the movie. Where it when it does establishing scene look shots,
it's a little different. I know.
Yeah,
that
no,
sound.
Yeah. It is. It's totally different, but it's evolved over the years. Yeah.
Comment on the alleged incident.
Obviously, it's fairly scary for us as a nation to imagine that somebody sitting on the other side of the world could hit a keystroke and all of a sudden water could start flooding through a dam.
Just last week, CNN broke news of a major breach at computer company Juniper Networks.
So now this isn't related to the dam breach at all, but they're kind of just bringing it together after they cite some guy at some company over Skype.
The company sells equipment and routers to the Defense Department, Justice Department, FBI, and Treasury Department. U.S. officials worry that hackers working for a foreign government were able to spy on the encrypted communications of the U.S. government and private companies for the past 3 years.
But there's no worries there.
No.
It's encrypted.
Sure. No back doors.
Infrastructure like the nation's power grid also constantly under siege.
Now, it makes me wonder about what would be potentially next, and that makes me concerned.
A more modernized grid system using digital technology means more access points for intruders.
I didn't hear Iran anywhere in that story.
That whole
Chris.
Thing is just a fear piece, right? It's really, it is really that was, and they're just running it to generate scary, cyber boogeyman hype around infrastructure stuff.
Yeah.
It's weird. I don't get it. Now, you want a real cyber story? How about the NSA spying on Israel leaders and Congress's communications?
Good evening from Washington. I'm Doug McElwain in for Brett Baer. With friends like these, who needs enemies? An already frosty relationship between President Obama and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu could be further strained after a report alleges the White House knowingly accepted surveillance gleaned from private conversations between the Israeli leader, his aides, and members of Congress here in the United States ahead of that landmark nuclear deal with Iran. Correspondent Kevin Cork reports from Hawaii.
Now, I think this actually happened. Here's my thoughts. They have the right, in the interest of national security, to monitor anybody, they're going to say. And their defense to that's going to be, yeah, well, look, Congress doesn't have the American people's interest at heart here. They're going after what their lobbyists want them to do. And so we wanted to see what kind of crazy things they were doing. It was in the interest of the nation. This deal is in the interest of the nation. I could almost hear Obama saying it.
Just how far would the White House go to secure votes for the Iran nuclear deal? According to a report in the Wall Street Journal, far enough to use NSA-collected intelligence on Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, in which it learned how some congressional lawmakers were leaning ahead of the crucial vote on Capitol Hill. Caught up in the massive sweep, the private conversations of Senate and House members, a strategic and intelligence treasure trove for a White House desperate to see the deal through.
This is a very serious abuse of power. What we have here is the executive branch using the power of a U.S. intelligence agency to listen in on the private conversations of members of Congress.
How much do you want to bet this is a huge function of the NSA's data collection programs?
Yeah.
The paper says in conducting its operation, the National Security Agency listened in on Netanyahu, his aides, and some Jewish American groups in the lead up to the vote on the deal, which would pave the way for sanctions relief in exchange for severe restrictions on the regime's nuclear activities. The allegation comes almost 2 years after President Obama announced that his administration would curtail eavesdropping on friendly heads of state after the world became aware of the reach of U.S. secret surveillance programs following the Edward Snowden leak.
Oh, it all comes back to Snowden, doesn't it?
Oh, Snowden.
So I'm not sure where this story's going. Paul Ryan says he's going to look into it more, blah, blah, blah. So we'll just keep following the story.
Paul Ryan's got a lot on his plate right now.
Yeah, he's growing that beard, you know. He's got to make sure he's hanging out with his kids.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, because, you know, he wants to make sure he has time to do that.
Yeah, even though he was going to run for president before.
Right. Yeah, makes perfect sense.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Let's shift gears and let's talk about a little terrorism, Chase. Let's get into a little terrorism, if we would. Yes.
So the terrorist appearing in an ISIS video showing the killing of five accused spies is believed to be a British radical. Authorities saying he could be a 32-year-old Brit, a Muslim convert from East London, who was renting out those bouncy castles houses for kids.
This is Jihadi John. Jihadi John was renting out bouncy house castles for kids.
And no, this new Jihadi John.
This is
not the old one.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we want to make sure we're clear.
This is the one that this is the one that's dressed a little fancier.
Yeah.
Muslim convert from East London who was renting out those bouncy castles houses for kids before joining the terror group. Imagine that. The video also features a young boy in army style camouflage threatening attacks against Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
A Londoner of Nigerian origin identifying the child as his 4-year-old grandson.
He's my grandson. I can't disown him. He doesn't know anything. He's a small boy. They are just using him as a shield. No, she told me she was going to Egypt for that study.
Well, if this guy says it, it must be true, so let's put him on Fox News. So there's Jihadi John. We got a new Jihadi.
The new Jihadi.
Yeah.
The old new.
Right. And of course, talking about the old new, your buddy.
My good friend.
Baghdadi. We got a message.
This newly released audio recording of ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi is 24 minutes long, and it's called Wait, For We As Well Are Waiting With You.
It sounds like a podcast. A 24-minute long. So Baghdadi is putting out a podcast.
Wait, it's called Wait? Is that the name of the show?
It's called Wait. It's complicated.
Wait, and then there's a colon, right?
Yeah, no,
wait.
Or comma? Hold on.
Wait, for we as well are waiting with you.
Yeah, so wait, comma.
For we as well are waiting with you.
Wait, comma, for we as well are waiting with you. Is there another comma in there?
Episode one.
Yeah. So Jihadi John, or I'm sorry, no, not Jihadi John.
No. Al-Baghdadi,
he's got a podcast.
Reference to a Quran verse that speaks of Judgment Day. CNN cannot independently verify the authenticity of
the
recording.
This is the same video clip.
So they just
said, and then they just said, we cannot verify the authenticity.
Now,
wait. So if you can't verify the authenticity, why is this a news story?
Why are we 2 years into this ISIS stuff and we still can't
better green screen video by now?
Yeah.
I mean, the technology, I mean, hell, you've been monitoring CES stuff this week. Incredible stuff.
Hey, guess where this audio recording came out from?
I wouldn't know.
Rita Katz over at the Site Intelligence Group, and here's what I love.
Oh.
Because all of the stuff comes from Rita Katz at
Site
Intelligence.
Therefore, it must be true.
That now is a validation. Well, we can't independently verify the source, but because it was released the same way every other piece of ISIS propaganda has been released, it must be true.
...of the recording, but it seems to follow the standard dissemination for ISIS videos.
As in, Rita Katz somehow amazingly finds it on YouTube where nobody else can find it, and then publishes it directly as a press release. This is how all of these get published, and since that was the method this one got found, it must be legit.
It has two focuses. The first is a morale boost for ISIS troops that are now fighting in Iraq and Syria. ISIS is likely to have a difficult year ahead, analysts say, and Baghdadi makes a big recruitment push here, as many in the international community crack down on radicalization and make it difficult to travel to the region. The second big focus here of this video is on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. ISIS has actually faced criticism in the past for not focusing more on the region's longest conflict.
So Baghdadi's putting out the podcast, calling troops in.
Well, remember, it's unconfirmed that he's putting out the podcast.
Right. And, you know, we have seen a dramatic increase in suicide bombings.
Well, happening now, this big story, ISIS boasting about terror attacks it claims to inspire around the world. A social media account linked to ISIS claims the terror group saw a dramatic increase in suicide attacks last year. ISIS also releasing a new video issuing a specific threat to the UK. Benjamin Hall is live in London with more on that video. But first, we go to our chief intelligence correspondent, Catherine Herridge.
Catherine.
Whenever we got Catherine reporting in, that's a go-to clip.
Yeah,
I'll pull it out of the stack, and I make sure if Catherine Herridge is going to come out there. This gal, I think she's got direct ties to the CIA. Love it. She's got a rocky history, which is interesting, and She holds up props like nobody in the news business. Nobody holds up props like Catherine. Observe.
Live in Washington. Catherine? Well, thank you, Jenna. This senior ISIS media account reviewed by Fox News reports that 2015 was a banner year for the terror group, posting an infographic on Twitter breaking down the number of suicide attacks. The group is reporting 61 suicide bombings in at least 9 different areas of Iraq and Syria, with the majority, 51%, carried out against the Syrian army, the Syrian opposition, as well as the Kurds. While the claims cannot be independently verified, the information has been shared with the FBI as well as other agencies, with an intelligence source who shared the data with Fox noting that the group is, quote, not contained and publicly bragging about the diversity of its suicide missions.
Now, if you listen carefully, what she just said was, is that this is an infographic that was published by ISIS, and then an intelligence official reaches out to Fox News to give them the story. Somebody from the CIA reaches out and says, I want to make sure you guys know about
this.
You
guys know about this, right?
That doesn't seem obvious to anybody. That doesn't seem obvious.
Man.
You know, so ISIS is having a good year.
Right.
Lots of good bombings. You know else? You know who else is having a good year?
Who's having a good year?
The U.S. of A. Guess who likes to sell a lot of guns?
We do.
Yeah, and you know what that means?
More money in the bank.
Money.
More money.
When it comes to arms dealing, the United States are the big guns, dominating the industry with almost a third of all global trade. However, how these weapons are being used is causing concern, as a Washington correspondent, Gunnar Chichikan, reports next.
Weapons is not what you immediately think when you hear this.
I believe in American exceptionalism with every fiber of my being.
One thing that makes the U.S. exceptional is its arms sales. With 5% of the world's population, the United States sells more than half of its weapons. No other country even comes close. Within just 1 year, foreign arms sales by the United States went up almost 30% to $46.6 billion. Ooh. The top four clients are South Korea, Iraq, Saudi Arabia and Qatar. Arabia and Qatar have been accused of all kinds of human rights violations, and yet it has not disqualified them from receiving U.S. weapons. In the last 5 years, Saudi Arabia alone has bought more than $100 billion worth of arms from the United States. The Gulf state has a lot going on, and it seems hungry for more weapons.
So, you know, we always talk about, why do we let Saudi Arabia get away with horrible human rights violations? Why are we such protective partners of Saudi Arabia? Why did we fly Saudis out of here after 9/11? Yeah, it actually happened. Why did all these things happen? Because not only are they our oil buddies, but look at that. In just those years alone, $100 billion in arms sales.
Yep.
Saudi Arabia has been bombing Shiite Houthi rebels in Yemen with disastrous consequences for the civilian population there, despite the UN saying stop and negotiate a solution. Also, Saudi Arabia, as well as Qatar, have been funneling weapons to Islamist groups in Syria. For more on this, I'm joined by Michael Maloof.
So speaking of guns, let's stop here. Obama took executive action on guns this week, and we got coverage of that in the supporter show. So if you're an Unfiltered supporter and want to hear our coverage of that, make sure you check into that. But look at that. You know, I have additional numbers in the show notes for the gun sales chase.
Yeah.
Just monstrous. Monstrous. The Obama administration is selling guns to other countries like nobody's business. Big weapons,
guns,
big nasty
guns,
stuff.
Guns.
Hey, before we keep going in the terrorism vein, speaking of big sales and guns, we could use some of your guns over at patreon.com/unfilter. We have 410. You know, we keep waffling around. We gain some and we lose some after the month comes through and it charges the cards, some drop off. So we're trying to grow this up to over 420 and keep it there, sustained for a while. It just keeps dropping down. And if you'd like to help us support the Unfilter show, go to patreon.com/unfilter. This is a listener-supported show. That means we only are responsible to those 410 people, and we make a show for them, not for somebody that might want to share something on some social media site and generate buzz, not for an advertiser that might want extra clicks. We make it as just a people's history for those 410 patrons. And the more of you doing it, the more people that support this show, the wider our scope can go, the greater our back-end infrastructure. Like right now, I got to tell you, it's just like strings of like different pieces of storage are tied together with like toothpicks and strings.
It's crazy.
With all the different stuff we have. And right now we're burning up cloud storage. We're burning up local storage. But on top of all of that, it's like kind of just patched together. I would love to be able to sit down and really work on this kind of stuff. I'd love to when I go on the road on road trips to be able to keep doing this show. But that's going to require additional gear. I mean, think about it. think about this kind of workflow for this kind of show when I'm traveling. All that kind of stuff requires investments and growth. Patreon.com/unfilter. Speaking of patrons.
I got a message from a patron, by the way. One of our patrons, Kyle, wrote into the show, so he knows where he is. Hey, guys, I just became a lowly $2 member.
Hey,
that's okay. Not lowly.
No.
I just wanted to thank you guys for doing this show. I look forward to it every week, and I listen on my about 40-minute commute from Oakland to San Francisco every day. The mainstream media drives me crazy. I use the internet for entertainment rather than cable TV, and your show is a beacon of light, and I feel informed after listening and not manipulated. Even though they took heavy comedic stance on the media, Jon Stewart and Colbert were my go-to for the BS that was being thrown around in the media. Then I would attempt to look into the stories they commented on for myself, and I was always overwhelmed, and I had a hard time picking through the shit. I love how you all go in depth and call out the media for the crazy shit they say. I just wanted to say thanks, and I tried to turn on my brother to your show as I know he would enjoy it.
Huh.
Can't wait for the next episode, and stay cool and skeptical, guys. And that was from Kyle.
Thanks, Kyle. And as a $2 patron, he gets access to the supporter show, which is a additional show that is extra content, extra context, extra long. And then at $5 or more, you get access to the source code, all the extra clips, the stuff that didn't make it on air, which is always a ton of stuff.
Yeah. By the way, Art of Music in the chat room's right. I feel sorry for those Canadians up there.
I know.
Canadian dollars plummeting.
Should take the new rig up to Canada and do some shopping.
Yeah.
Hey, let's talk about Assad. This is something we've been watching since it's been in the media for years now. And there's been a unique and distinct evolution of the U.S.'s position. And the U.S. just signed some papers in the UN about a political transition, and you know, everybody's trying to get on board now with a political strategy for Syria. And you heard the State Department. Peace in Syria is one of their number one accomplishments for 2015.
The U.S. stance on the fate of the Syrian president Bashar al-Assad has been changing all year long. RT's Guyane Chichikan takes us back.
The U.S. has signed on to a U.N. Security Council resolution which is set to lead to a political transition in Syria. But when Bashar Assad goes is not spelled out.
Position is that Assad has lost legitimacy. He cannot be part of a Syrian government. How and when he goes is still under debate.
Would you say that it is still being discussed and decided whether or not he can be part of the transition process?
So what I'd say is it is still being decided and discussed what that transitional process looks like.
There was a time when the U.S. insisted on Bashar Assad's departure before any political process could be started.
There's no future for Assad in Syria.
In Syria, the only way that the civil war will end is an inclusive political transition to a new government without Bashar Assad.
The last year and a half, we have said that Assad has to go.
But realism also requires a managed transition away from Assad and to a new leader.
It is not conceivable that Assad can regain legitimacy
and hasten the day that Assad's bloody tenure comes to an end.
Assad is going to have to leave.
December. Although the State Department claims the U.S. position on Bashar Assad has not changed, many see it otherwise.
Obviously, there's been something of almost a tectonic shift. Two things have happened over the course of the last few months. Growing realization, that the policy of regime change, which had been on the agenda for the most part for this U.S. administration, has been an absolute failure and has led to the growth of ISIL and the more killing and devastation in the region than the region has seen in decades. Secondly, the shooting down of the Russian plane by the Turks sent a message that perhaps this conflict will lead to a major conflict between great powers.
That's what we were saying.
U.S. officials still say Assad needs to leave, only now they add he can stay for a while.
It's a major shift, and it's one that I think we're not totally soaking in how major it is because nobody's talking about it.
Well, we talked about it before we went on our break.
Yeah, we talk about it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I mean, like nobody on the radio, nobody on television, nobody in print.
Because it's against the narrative.
It's like they're just not
shock.
Even seeing it.
Well, it's a shock against the narrative. They're like, well, it's been pushed for how long?
I really think Turkey shooting down that Russian jet was the turning point. I think that was the pivot point for all of this. And Russia really stepping up, Russia calling out Turkey. energy for their oil deals. In fact, there's more of that.
A captured ISIL terrorist has fueled claims that Turkey is involved in illegal oil deals with Islamic State. We obtained interview footage with the captive from Sputnik's news agency in Turkey. 24-year-old Mahmud Gazi Tatar joined ISIL from the Turkish city of Adriyaman. Together with other recruits, he was transported across the border into Syria, where he received terrorist training. Last June, he was captured by Kurdish forces and is currently in prison. The former Islamic State fighter revealed details about Turkey's alleged oil links to the terror group.
At the training camp in May 2015, our commander told us that the group sells fuel to Turkey. That income covers Islamic State's costs. The oil trucks crossing into Turkey every day carry crude oil, as well as petrol. The group has enough oil to last them a long time. The commander said that the oil is sold via several businessmen and traders, but he did not give any names. ISIL also receives lots of supplies from Turkey and Arab countries.
I've been reading and listening to reports that Turkey also is essentially acting as the medic for ISIS fighters. And bringing them over to Turkey, doing the medical work on them they need, and then sending them back out into the battlefield. Training camps, in fact, Turkey generals and high-ranking Turkey military officials working with translators to work training people. Turkey's really all in on this.
I have a quick detoured question on this. They were interviewing this fighter, right?
Yeah, the supposed former fighter guy.
Does ISIL call themselves ISIL?
I think they call themselves... I don't think they do, actually. I don't know if they call themselves Daesh or not.
Because during that interview, he referred to themselves as the ISIL army or whatever.
Here's what I think. I think there are...
Or is translated wrong.
I think there are groups of people that call themselves all kinds of things. You know, like, I've always felt what's really going on is there are groups of people out there working sort of together in that region. Some of them are contractors.
Right.
You know, like mercenaries.
Yeah.
Some of them are psychopath, evangelical Islamists,
right,
or whatever,
yeah,
extremists. And some of them are people in state militaries. I mean, like, it's a whole mismatch of people out there. And some of them are CIA agents, right? Like,
yeah,
it's this whole... Like,
I just wonder, you know, obviously, you know, they hate a lot of the names that they call themselves, right? And so to hear him call a name that feels Western, you know, when they say ISIL.
I don't know if I'd believe that or not.
I don't know. It just kind of threw me for a little bit.
Yeah, that's good. That's
and I was just like,
it caused me. It's like, what is that?
Yeah,
what is that?
That was interesting.
I think, I'll play a little of this clip because I think they break down some of the oil details.
To its eager clients.
So here we go. Step-by-step oil trade. Step one, extract the crude.
Get it out.
As low as 25 per barrel. Step two, cut a hole in the... No, sell it to smugglers. Sell it to nearby refineries also. Or sell it to a local market. So there you go. They have the full clip in there. Isn't that great with the music and everything?
Makes little info autographic.
Yeah, they're going all out on Turkey over there at Russia Today. It's pretty fun to watch that. Let me mute that. Jeez Louise. That's the. You know what I love is we have a messaging system, right?
Yeah.
If people are sending me messages while they know I'm on air.
Aww.
It's okay. It's all right.
Hey, you want me to send you a message?
So this whole area, like this whole thing, there is more to why Turkey is behind, is so in on ISIS. There's more to it. And maybe we can get some audio that helps explain it in a future episode. I want to shift over to Saudi Arabia while we're in that area, though. Saudi Arabia and Iran, all kinds of mishaps going on right now. Did you see
some escalating tensions in the Middle East? Saudi Arabia moves to cut all diplomatic and commercial ties with Iran.
Oh yeah, I heard about that. Yes,
Iran, a Shia country, protesting the execution of a prominent Shia cleric by Saudi Arabia this weekend. After their embassy in Tehran was attacked, the Saudis ended diplomatic relations with Iran, and now several Saudi allies in the Gulf are also severing diplomatic ties with Iran. The White House is speaking about this at the daily press briefing, talking about warning the Saudis about executions and human rights violations. That's just some of the headlines that we're seeing now. It'll be curious what they have to say about Iran as well. Iran also has public executions that are very controversial. John Hetty's live in Jerusalem, and it's a big question about what's ahead in the Middle East with
big
all
question.
This tension escalating. John.
Yeah, well, Jenna, at this point, we're seeing the ripple effect throughout the region of this ongoing situation between Iran and Saudi Arabia. In fact, today, Bahrain announced that it's severing diplomatic ties with Iran as well, giving Iranian foreign officials 48 hours basically to get out of the country. The UAE, United Arab Emirates, also said that it's downgrading diplomatic relations with Iran, basically just keeping business relations going. And then Sudan, of course, in Africa, has expelled Iran's ambassador and mission. And then, of course, last night, as we've been talking about at length, Saudi Arabia gave Iranian foreign officials also 48 hours to leave the country. And Saudi diplomats, as we saw, arrived in Dubai late last night after leaving Iran. And all of this, of course, stemming from the weekend's violence, excuse me, and the attack on the Saudi embassy in Tehran. We've seen all those pictures, Molotov cocktails being hurled at the building, igniting a fire. And the anger really has centered and focused on Saudi Arabia's execution of the Shiite cleric, Sheikh Nimr al-Nimr, who was an outspoken critic of the Saudi government. So
I wonder how this is going to set things up for 2016. This is going to be interesting going into that. So we'll watch that story. Right now, there's a lot of speculation in the supporter sink. One, two, three, four, five, six separate clips.
Wow.
About how the U.S. is contributing to tension, how it's going to affect our fight with ISIS.
ISIL, by the way.
Right, Daesh. But before we get to that.
Yeah.
Donald Trump doesn't often make news in the Unfilter show.
What do you mean he doesn't make news?
When's the last time we played?
I thought we talked about him like 2 weeks ago.
Did we?
I'm pretty sure we
might
did.
Have. Like about once a month, he seems to come up. This is his monthly check-in.
This is his first, and this is going to be his best check-in ever
for 2016.
Yeah, for 2016.
He's newsworthy now because Putin's talking about him in my book.
Well, you might call it bizarrest Russia. Vladimir Putin devoted part of a news conference yesterday to Donald Trump.
It's not just any news conference, if I understand correctly. It's like Putin goes down there and sits down and like just answers questions for like 6 hours.
Yeah, it's like the press conference that we do, but better.
And like for a long time.
Yeah, he just hangs out.
And sang
beers,
his praises.
Everything.
Major Garrett looks at what's become
Major?
A mutual admiration society.
A mutual admiration society.
At his year-end press conference, Vladimir Putin called Republican frontrunner Donald Trump talented, flamboyant, and popular.
Uh-oh.
Within hours, Trump responded, saying it was a great honor to be so nicely complimented.
How dare he?
By a man so highly respected within his own country and beyond. Trump sees Putin's praise as validation of their mutual disdain for President Obama.
His dislike for President Obama, and it's a mutual thing, is terrible. That's why you see all the conflict, all the problems, all the hatred.
This morning, Trump was asked about the dark side of Putin's dictatorial ways.
Wait, is this a Star Wars ad? Wait.
The good catch, that is totally a Star Wars reference.
Well, I mean, it also is a person that kills journalists.
That's Joe Scarborough on MSNBC's Morning Joe.
It's political political opponents and
invades countries.
And invades countries. Obviously, that it would be a concern, would it not?
A country leader that invades countries
and kills people?
That doesn't sound. That's
he's running his country, and at least he's a leader. You know, unlike what we have in this country.
Yeah, but again, he kills journalists that don't agree with him.
Well, I think our country does plenty of killing also, Joe.
You know, later he was asked about that, and he actually had a pretty good answer. That wasn't his best answer, but that's a funny one. You know, I think we do plenty of killing too, Joe.
Yeah.
Trump later condemned the killing of political opponents, but Jeb Bush, who has called Trump a chaos candidate, slammed his comments.
I think Putin is playing with us like a Stradivari. He's playing us, America, the way that Trump plays the press.
Trump then tweeted the former governor is there. Dumb as a rock.
You know, the classic Bush.
Did he?
He kind of felt like he was channeling his brother there.
Well, they are, you know, related.
I know.
I like, did you hear what Donald Trump's response was?
No. Trump plays the press.
Trump then tweeted the former governor is dumb as a rock.
Oh, jeez.
Lindsey Graham said Trump should visit bombed-out eastern Ukraine or Syrian refugee camps to see if Putin really deserves praise.
I like that. So that implies the entire Syrian refugee crisis is Putin's fault.
Right.
Yeah, that's good.
Scott, even Mitt Romney weighed in, making this distinction.
Mitt Romney, well, this must be relevant.
Putin kills journalists and critics. U.S. presidents kill terrorists.
Hoorah!
Major Garrett on the campaign
now,
for us.
Now, Chris, I don't know if you have a clip on this, and if you do, cut me off right away.
What?
But remember during the Democratic debate, Hillary came out and said that they're using Donald Trump.
Yeah, I don't have it handy, okay. But yeah, I do remember she said that they're ISIS using Donald Trump in recruiting videos.
Right.
Yeah.
And then at the time,
there was none.
There was nothing.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, a couple of days ago, and that kind of, you know, set off my spidey sense.
I hope so. Yeah.
They said there was a new recruitment video from an Al-Qaeda affiliate.
Yeah, Al-Shabaab.
Yeah, Al-Shabaab. Mm-hmm. And then they're using Donald Trump in a video. Yeah. I found that very convenient.
So not only is it amazingly convenient, guess who released it? Rita Katz at the Site Intelligence Group.
Yeah. Oh, Rita!
Yeah. And then also, by the way, it was a recut of an existing video.
Oh.
They just took an existing video and they literally just cut in Trump. They didn't change anything else. They just drop in the Trump
Windows
clip.
Movie Maker.
Yeah.
I knew it.
They just drop it. They just, like, there's a guy, he talks, they cut to Trump, and then they go back to that guy talking. Like, they just drop the Trump stuff in there, and then the Site Intelligence Group's like, look here, it's Al-Shabaab. It's a recruiting video.
Yeah, but did they really do it?
But you know what that really exposes?
What?
That exposes massive ties to this entire propaganda campaign to Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
I'm telling you, it's her techno experts in the State Department that are behind the ISIS Twitter accounts. I'm frying some bacon right here on the show.
All right.
But
in New Year, New Bacon City, this bacon comes to us fresh from San Francisco.
Let me tell you something, Chase.
Yeah, Chris.
If you look at the timeline, Hillary Clinton's State Department, and she had talked a lot about it because she was very proud about it, invested very heavily in people who work in the State Department and try to do anti-U.S. propaganda across the world, right? There are people on Twitter that are trying to, like, answer propaganda and, like, no, that's not true about the U.S. And then that act, I can't remember the name of it, that prevented propaganda in the U.S. I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah.
Maybe the
chat
remembers now.
Yeah.
That ended a year ago, and then all of a sudden, or 2 years ago, and then all of a sudden, all of this ISIS claiming credit for stuff happens on Twitter. You're just telling me that the State Department has a propaganda crew that manages Twitter, and then we remove laws about propaganda in the United States, and then boom, all of a sudden, all this stuff on Twitter.
Honestly, Chris, I don't think that's far-fetched.
And then Hillary Clinton makes some bold, pathological lie in the debate, and then a couple of weeks later, a video from the same Rita Katz Site Intelligence Group that's been releasing all of these.
Are you sure this isn't the same video that that people were upset about over Benghazi, the YouTube video? Are you sure? Are you sure?
Ooh, good callback to that, too. Yeah, that's a good point.
Hillary doesn't want to get caught with that. Because if she does, she's screwed.
Yeah.
She's screwed.
Yeah, and you know what else is really suspicious about it? Why isn't her campaign going crazy about it?
Oh, right, yeah. Why wouldn't they go, yeah, see, look, there's a video.
Now, the media is.
Yeah.
And the media is even saying Hillary Clinton totally called it. Like, they're saying, like, it was a prediction. It wasn't a prediction. She said it in past tense.
It already had happened when she
said it. So, but now they're writing off as it was a prediction, which is crap.
Yep.
And if the Hillary – why aren't they celebrating this? Why aren't they celebrating this?
I know.
Uh-huh.
I know.
Uh-huh.
Well, because you know
Smith
what they're
Munton, Smith. So Smith.
Smith Munt Act.
I'm going to put that in. I'll put a link to that in the show notes.
I mean,
that's
why do you think right now they're just trying to deflect and try to, oh, we're concentrating on the general election. Hillary's got it in the bag.
Yeah.
It's like, man.
So this Smith Munt. Why am I? My mouth is all tangled up.
Smith Munt Act.
It's because my head is.
There's two M's there.
My head is like all crazy. From the new rig.
Smith Munt Act.
But yeah, this was the act that prevented propaganda being turned inwards, and this is no longer protecting us. I'll link to that in the show notes so you guys can learn more about that if you don't know about it.
Wow.
So you and I love to watch the media from all different aspects.
Oh, yeah.
Production, the hosts. We like to watch how the anchors present the news.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of this. we got to break this down. This is really something. So this gal, you may have heard about this. This was on CNN, I think it was late last week while we were on break.
What they actually hold and what happens next, still clearly a big question.
Okay, so they're wrapping up on a report about Iraq.
Poppy.
Absolutely. Becky Anderson.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Back here on American soil. Bad news for the Obama administration.
Yeah.
We have this new CNN ORC poll, which is quite a turnaround in...
what was
wait,
that?
Wait, hold on. Keep playing. Wait.
Okay.
You know, I'm
going
to be the president.
Go to break! Quick! Go to break! Can't you go to break?
Cut her mic!
Happy Media New Year. Brian Stelter, CNN, New York.
Brian, thank you so much. And for all of you on Twitter who are asking if I'm okay, thank you so much. I got a little hot and I passed out for a moment.
She's
I am
a little
fine.
Pregnant,
we're going to take
way,
a
everybody.
Quick break. We'll be right back.
Yeah. By the way, she is pregnant.
Yeah, so she says she got a little hot and she passed out.
Yeah.
That's pretty embarrassing.
You know what I've noticed? And you know what? God bless you women out there that are working soon-to-be moms. Good Morning America, I think there's like two or three women that are pregnant. CNN, there's a woman pregnant on TV. I think there's more women pregnant on TV than men anchors,
Do you know how they get preggo? It's dirty. All right, so let's get this news out there. This
DNA, artificial insemination.
The mini militia in Oregon. You know about this one, right?
Oh, yeah absolutely.
I want to get the audience's take on this. Get your take on it, too. I'm going to roll the clip in case people don't know what we're talking about.
In the United States, a 150-strong armed militia has occupied a federal building in the state of Oregon. They're calling on other so-called American patriots to join them and stand up against the government in Washington.
And bring your arms, and you know, the point is, until that line is drawn and say, we've had enough of this tyranny, you are going to leave us alone, it will not change. And you're going to see, this is the power of America right here. People got together for this. It doesn't have to stop here. This could be a hope that spreads through the whole country, the whole United States. Everybody's looking for this hope because the government has beat us and oppressed us and took everything from us. They will not stop until we tell them no.
So what do you think, Chase? What's going on?
Have you looked at the details about this and why they're
I'm
pissed?
Roughly. I'm generally aware of the story.
So there's a couple of gentlemen, I don't remember the names, and they were originally given prison time for basically burning on federal land, arson.
They were trying to do a controlled burn, and it went.
Well, they were burning because they're trying to hide the poaching that they did illegally.
Okay. They say they were burning to try to burn the grass down.
I try to look for the facts on it.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah,
right?
I know.
Either way,
but essentially, the judge says no, 7 months or whatever. The way too short. We want you guys to go back for 5 years.
They came back and got them.
Wanted
to come back because they were able to convict them under terrorism laws because there's a terrorism law that if you set fire to federal property, you can all of a sudden be tried under this Terrorism Act of like 1997 or something
right,
like that.
Yeah. And so they didn't fight going back to jail. All this is coming from the organizations and stuff, or their groups and such.
I would like to get the audience's take on it.
I find it interesting, and I heard this on the radio, and I don't know if this is a shock jock news anchor bringing this up on the radio, but if it was a different race of group of people, would it be different? I mean, obviously, it's a lot of Caucasian men that are doing this that have a lot of guns. But what if it was Hispanics or African Americans or some other ethnic group?
I don't know.
It's an interesting thing. Like, they have shut down essentially a federal wildlife preserve, I think it is, and there's these buildings and all that. I mean,
it's just not exactly critical infrastructure, though.
No. But is that why they're backing off on it? But granted, I heard they just cut off phones and power.
I think we'll probably have more story by next week, but I'm not sure. I encourage producer Matt to continue to follow that one because I haven't been following that one very closely.
Yeah.
Because I was too busy following this next story very closely. Very, very closely. And I encourage you follow it closely, too.
It's not the way anyone wants to ring in the new year. Check out these disturbing surveillance photos of a naked peeping Tom.
I think we have the non-blurred full nudity version in the supporter sink, possibly.
Creeping up on Bravo reality star Daniel Yancey's home. It happened just before 11 p.m. on December 31st. The unidentified man wearing what she describes as a Ronald Reagan mask.
So naked white dude crawls into their backyard wearing a Ronald Reagan mask and looks looks into her window.
Opens a gate on their back porch. The Jersey Belle star explains her husband happened to walk by the window and caught a glimpse of the stranger. That's when he ducked and eventually ran away.
Could you imagine seeing a naked Ronald Reagan out your back window? No. That would make me crap
about,
my
what about,
pants.
What about Bill? What about, I mean, come
but
on.
But Bill's alive, dude. That would at least be explainable.
Yeah. Nancy, who posted the surveillance video to her Facebook page as a warning to her neighbors, said the whole thing was very scary because if her husband didn't see the guy, she's not sure what the naked man would have done. As for Peeping Tom, he eventually went back to their house to confess, saying the Yanceys weren't specifically targeted. He admitted it was part of a prank with a group of friends.
Hey-o.
Apologizing must have been his New Year's resolution. For FoxNews.com,
ba-dum-bum.
I'm Lee Sheps.
There you go.
Thanks, Lee.
Thanks, Lee.
Back
yeah.
to you.
All right, Chase, you know, we do like to end it on a high note from time to time.
Ooh, a nice high note.
Yeah, and it's been a little while. And so with the holidays here, I did a little sleuthing.
You did.
And it turns out Washington pot sales were very strong over the holidays. And edibles, well, just like I read booked, sold like crazy. Edibles sold like crazy. But there was sort of a patron saint out in Colorado handing out free joints.
What?
A Denver nonprofit is trying to raise awareness about
local
homelessness
news.
By passing out drugs. The group Cannabis Can handed out hundreds of pre-rolled marijuana joints to homeless men and women. This group says it's trying to get the people of Denver to pay more attention to the homeless in their community.
A lot of the people that we spoke with really were just like, if I had a regular access to a shower and a haircut, my life would be so much better. I'd have so much more opportunity.
Cannabis gets them there, but it's their idea. Under Colorado law, it is illegal to smoke weed in public, but it can still be given as a gift. Recipients must be 21 or older, and no money can change hands.
By the way, I call a little BS on his thing. You know, these guys want to get off the streets, get a haircut, get a job.
Yeah.
We already know this. We've talked about it a lot on the show. It's still Schedule 1 against the federal government and federal law.
Yeah, they if you're trying to get a job, you probably shouldn't be smoking a
joint.
You
should, yeah, at least for 2 months.
Yeah, probably not a good idea.
Probably not a good idea. By the way, if you want to help support the show in content-wise, head over to our subreddit at unfiltered.reddit.com.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody who does that. Unfiltered.reddit.com. Check the calendar as My Trip to Scale comes up. It'll probably be disruptive to the Unfiltered schedule.
What? You're going to disrupt us?
The show's just, it is too much of a production right now to bring on the road. But maybe one day, Unfiltered could use your support over on Patreon for that,
try
too.
Try the beam back thing that we never got to try.
Ooh, you know what I want to do?
What's that?
Get a transporter.
Dude.
Right.
Dude.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Chase? You got like a Twitter account people could check
you
out?
Know what?
You got...
People can check in on what I'm talking
what?
About
really?
In the world. Yes.
No.
At Nunes on Twitter.
At Nunes?
N-U-N-E-S. Oh. If you were following me today, you would have saw that I'm a little pissed off. I had a little grind my gear today. I'm fired up because Ken Griffey Jr., one of the best baseball players of all time, was elected in the Hall of Fame today.
Yeah.
Did not receive a unanimous vote. Three writers decided, you know, he's not good enough for the Hall of Fame.
So he didn't get in?
No, he's in.
Oh.
But he should have been, like, unanimous.
Okay. So you're just upset
just
that he didn't
off.
Have a dominating victory.
No, yeah, well, somebody's like, I don't want him to go. Yeah. Now, you're on Twitter, right?
Yeah. At Chris LES. If you're going to be at Scale in Pasadena, California.
Scale.
21st or the 24th, Jupiter Broadcasting has a meetup page, meetup.com/Jupiter Broadcasting.
I got to say this. If this JB rolling apartment on wheels, I don't know what you're going to call it yet.
Yeah.
Next year, CES, dude.
Boom. Also, if you'd like to help our Scale effort, teespring.com/last400 or last400EU if you're in the EU.
Yes.
400th episode of Last coming up, too.
Wow, that's amazing.
All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning this week's episode of Unfiltered. We'll be live next week. Go to jblive.tv for that, jupiterbroadcasting.com/calendar to get it in your local time zone. And thanks so much for tuning this week's episode of Unfiltered. We'll see you right back here
next week.
I'm not going to dignify that with an answer.
The United States, when we make a mistake, we're honest about it. We own up to it.